We're going to talk about Tough as Nails. This is Kelly Murphy. So let's start off. I'd like to go back and have you talk to me about how you initially got on the show. Can you talk about how that all happened?
Sure. So I have an Instagram account, and back in January of last year, a gentleman from the Discovery Channel, the casting producer, messaged me and said, "Hey, we're putting together show on the Discovery Channel. We think you'd be a great fit." And I thought it was a joke or some type of spam. Well, it turns out it was legitimate. I did some Zoom calls, some casting calls for Discovery Channel, and the show just never really got off the ground, so to speak. So I just chalked it up as a good experience. It was pretty cool to do some casting stuff. And then out of the blue in October, he sent me a message and said, "Hey, the CBS is putting together this show called Tough as Nails. I think you'd be perfect for it. I'm not casting for it, but here's the link. You should apply." So I thought, what the heck? So I filled out the document online. Only took like a couple minutes. And then the next day, I got a call from CBS casting team asking if I could do a Zoom interview. So I did, and this was in, like I said, October, and then about 3 or 4 days later, I did another one, and then I was invited out in December to California to spend about a week out there just to learn about the show, for them to learn more about me, do some more of the casting process, and then I flew out mid-January, and we filmed mid-January to mid-February.
Okay.
So I don't really watch much TV, let alone reality TV. So to be on the show was really different, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was a great experience, just to getting to know the behind the scenes stuff, like what the crew does, like how much work gets put into a show when it comes to like setting up the lighting or setting up the locations. I definitely have a huge respect for the people that are behind the scenes. It's just really neat to see everything that they do to make it work.
What on your Instagram page really caught this person's eye and said you would be a great candidate for this? Was there anything in particular?
Well, I think most of my stuff on my Instagram is mostly physical fitness stuff. Until recently, a lot of it's obviously posts about Tough as Nails, but my Instagram was built around just being, just staying athletic after I retired from the Marine Corps. So I have some Marine Corps photos on there, but most of it's athletic stuff. So I think that's what caught my eye, because the Discovery Channel show was like a physical competition, and they were looking for somebody from the veteran community. So I think that's how they found me, is just by searching.
And then talk to me again about, like, during the selection process, what type of stuff they asked you and what your responses were.
Well, I think some of the casting stuff they like to keep somewhat private. Some of it was just like your basic background checks. So they do background checks and you know, you do a physical just to make sure that you know, there's nothing wrong with you physically. And really the casting process is kind of the producers learning about you, your personality, on whether or not you'd be a good fit for the show. And then it's an opportunity for you to learn about the show and to decide if it's something that you want to commit to as well. So I think the casting process is learning a little bit about each other.
So why did you want to be on the show?
Well, so I was in the Marine Corps for 22 years, and when I retired 8 years ago, my job in the Marine Corps was, I'll start off with, the military is full of blue-collar jobs, except if we just joke around and say green-collar. So the veteran community or the military is made up of a bunch of blue-collar traits. So my job required me to be mechanically inclined, physically fit. A lot of the things that are essential workers are today. So when I was told about the show, I wanted to prove to myself that I could still do stuff like I used to when I was in the Marine Corps. So I really wanted to prove to myself that I could still be an effective person like I was in the Marine Corps. So that's really why I wanted to do the show, really just for personal reasons.
So, were you a helicopter mechanic, or what did you do in the Marine Corps?
Well, when I was first in the Marine Corps, I was avionics on two different types of Marine Corps helicopters. So avionics and weapon systems. So basically anything electrical, instrumentation, communication-wise, and that's what I worked on two different platforms, the Huey, and then the Cobra. Then I became an instructor, so I taught new Marines how to the trade. And then I spent a little bit of time recruiting for the Marine Corps for 3 years. And then when I got promoted to my last rank, I went to the ground side and spent the rest of my career 2.5 years with the infantry, and then some time with military police, and then some time with motor transport. So I got a chance to see a lot of the Marine Corps in my 22-year career.
You sure did. That's amazing. Was it four deployments you went on then throughout your time?
Yes, yeah, I did a couple deployments before children, and then I had a break from deployments just because I did instructor duty, and then that got followed right up with recruiting duty, and then my last few deployments were with kids, and that's really the reason I retired. The last couple years that I was in, I'd only saw the kids for a couple months out of several years. So I made the decision to retire because I wanted to watch them grow up. My oldest, when I retired, was in, I believe she was in sixth grade, and I knew that if I stayed in, I was going to miss their teenage years, and I didn't want to do that. So that's why I retired at 22 instead of staying the full 30.
Wow, you wanted to take on the teenage years. Good for you.
Yeah, my kid, I mean, I can see the benefit of retiring because I got to see them grow up through their middle school years, their high school years. So my oldest daughter is a junior at the University of Central Missouri. My youngest daughter, Shelby, just turned 18 yesterday. She's in Navy boot camp, and she graduates September the 11th. And then my son is a junior at the local high school. So if I would have stayed in, I would have missed not only their years, but I would have missed some of their decision making on what they want to do when they get out of school.
Where did you deploy to those four times?
All over the Middle East. I went, well, really all over the Persian Gulf area, those surrounding countries. I got lucky to go to Australia. And then the southeastern Asian countries as well, just because I was stationed on the West Coast, so usually I went in that direction. I never got to go to the Mediterranean or any of the European countries, unfortunately. So maybe I'll take those on as a civilian and see what life over there is like.
Oh, my husband went there last fall, and he got to go to London and Rome, and it was just really the pictures are beautiful. I think you would really enjoy seeing that area. It's pretty awesome. So let me think here. There was something else about your military time I was going to ask about your deployments. So are you still 47, by the way? I want to make sure.
Yeah, I was 47 when we filmed the show, and I just turned 48
48.
in June.
Okay. All right. Man, you tower over most everybody except for Lee there. How tall are you?
Probably just a little bit shy of 6'4".
Okay. About 6'4". Okay. It'll come to me eventually what I was going to ask you. It was military related. I know that much. Let's move on to the challenge that you remember most throughout this competition. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, there's actually two challenges that will be my favorite probably the rest of my life. I'll go with the team one first. So those of you that have been following the show know that Savage Crew fell behind, and we had some rough times and we struggled, but through growing together, communicating together, having an understanding and forgiveness for each other, during the moving challenge, when we won, I've watched that episode more than any other episode so far, because watching the joy on my teammates' faces when we won is worth $1 million. Just watching them celebrate that, knowing that our hard work together and overcoming adversity produced a win, that's probably my favorite team win by far, is just watching their celebration at the very end. And
Okay.
I would say for personal, the firefighter challenge and coming and rappelling down the wall. That's personally to me. So I was never afraid of heights when I was younger in the Marine Corps. We Marines rappel in boot camp. You do a lot of high obstacles, the confidence course, a bunch of stuff like that. And throughout my career, and I've flown in helicopters, done all kinds of things with heights. But towards the end, I just had some things that didn't go well. And I think the older I got and the more things didn't go well when it comes to heights, I started really not liking heights. So when I retired, I hadn't tested any kind of fear of heights. And then when I got to the show, we had to do the rescue man challenge, the telephone pole. And I'm like, okay, it doesn't seem too high off the ground. So I'm like, got it. I struggled through it, but I was able to finish first into my heat, and I was ecstatic. But so I thought the height stuff was over. And then sure enough, I didn't do so well looking for the hurt man inside the hazmat building. And then I had to rappel down that wall. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do this again. But to watch myself and overcome that fear, when you're doing it is one thing, but when you're actually watching yourself do something, it's almost like disbelief, like, wow, that I did that. So that for me is a personal favorite. I said, but the team one is definitely my favorite, watching my teammates celebrate. And then the rappel thing is just really personal to me to overcome something.
Well, that made the show really interesting. I thought that you went up against, in the elimination challenge, you went up against a firefighter in a firefighter challenge, and you beat him and by conquering your fear. That made the show really such an awesome episode.
Yeah, Young is a really good guy. Obviously we're friends well after the show, and he is actually a tremendous firefighter. I know he went in overtime a lot, but he was always calm, cool, and collected and came out on top. And if I'm in a building, that's the guy I want to come save me, is the guy that's calm, cool, collected. Like, he was positive the whole time, no matter what happened. He always had a smile on his face. And even though he did go into overtime, at least we went in overtime 4 times, but the 3 times, and even including the one against me, he was calm, cool, collected. Like, he was the last guy that I really wanted to go into overtime against, especially in a firefighter challenge.
Are you challenging yourself today with heights because you conquered your fear twice then? Or are you like, nope, I'm done?
Well, I think if the opportunity came, I mean, I would give one thing that I've never done in the Marine Corps is I never jumped out of an airplane. I mean, I'd be willing to try, because, like I said, one of the reasons why I did the show is I wanted to prove to myself that I could do something. So if the opportunity came along to skydive, I'd give it a shot. I wouldn't hesitate to try rappelling again. especially it'd be a little bit different because it would just be for leisure. It wouldn't be under the pressure of competing for $200,000.
Right, okay. That railroad track one was pretty good. Well, just pulling the caboose was insane. Were there any that were just like you're besides the rappelling part, but were there any that were just like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me, we're doing this? You know, were there any like that you felt like are we really doing this?
Yeah, I think the railroad challenge was it was a lot harder than what it looked on TV, that's for sure. So not only those rails are super heavy, so getting them down like to where we had to get them to was just that started off like wow, this is an eye opener. But having to constantly like stay bent over or hammering the spikes. I mean, that challenge was pretty long. So the pulling the caboose part was the easiest part because you knew that once you finished the finish line with the caboose, you were done. So I was ready to pull the caboose for sure because trying to drive the spikes in, stay bent over, move the rails, pay attention to detail, like you were pretty exhausted by the time you got to the caboose. So I was happy to finally get to the caboose because like I said, that physically, it may not have been easy, but mentally, that was the easiest part of the challenge. And then I would say when we had to do the fire break, that was a very like aerobically intense challenge because you were trying to clear that brush as fast as possible. So it felt like you just got done running like a wind sprint by the time you were done with that challenge.
What was your biggest takeaway from the show? Like, what did you walk away feeling like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. I didn't realize that, or tell me what you learned.
I don't know if I really learned anything, but I had a few things just reinforced to me, and that's like with patience and communication, you could work through almost any issue. It happens in the military. That's the show kind of reminded me of being in the military in a way when it comes to. So maybe you're going to another unit where you have to get to know the people really quick to accomplish the mission. That's kind of the way the show was. You had five other people that you had to really get to know. You had to get to know their abilities. They had to get to know yours. You had to establish a means of communicating and working together. And that's kind of the way the show was. It was the same feel. So I guess what was reinforced to me was the fact, like I said, that through communication and patience and some understanding, like you can work through almost anything together as a team.
Who did you feel like was your greatest competition in this whole thing? Was there one person or were there a couple?
That's a good question. I'd say there's a few, and it depended upon the day. So, for example, the alternator challenge, I'm like, Lee is the man to beat because Lee does this in his off time. Lee spends a ton of time at a pickup part. He repairs his neighbor's cars. So, he knows his cars, so definitely. So he was the one to beat in that challenge. And then you have, like, so for example, when we built the fence, Melissa's built a ton of fences using barbed wire. So each challenge, you almost had somebody different that was the front runner. And then there was always the constant, Linda is fast and very strong. Danny's fast and very strong. So there was always those two that I had to worry about. I mean, they're great competitors, and you're going to see some great stuff this Wednesday from those two as well.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting how, going into certain competitions, how you would think that someone like Lee would have just just killed all of you in that competition, and that's not what happened. And it just didn't work in his favor as well as it did other well you, for example. So I mean, it was just interesting how that really, I think, helped with suspense throughout the show. Was there anything else in the show that you feel like we should be highlighting?
Really, not that I can think of. Just the whole experience was amazing. I would tell somebody that if they have the opportunity to do something like that, then I would do it, because like you only get so many opportunities in life. And like I said, if I would have passed this up, I would have probably saw this show on TV and would have kicked myself for not doing it. So.
So would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely. Just for like I said, just the experience. It was a great time. Getting to know, your fellow cast members, but like I said, to get to know the behind the scenes part of TV. Like it takes so much to make a TV show. I had no idea until, I had this experience, and it was definitely an eye opener of how much work goes into it to put on, an hour's worth of TV.
Absolutely. Yeah, the production of it, I can only imagine. And you said that the show got a second season, right?
It did. CBS approved a second season as Tough as Nails. They're actually, I think they're almost done casting for season 2 now. The show was huge. I know the first night it captured the number 1 ratings on Wednesday. I think it's averaged 4 million viewers a night. It's pretty big in Canada and overseas. So it's definitely, I think it's a show that's going to be around for several years to come. I hope so, because Phil and Louise, his wife, the co-producer, like they put their heart and soul into the show, and I would like to see it go a long time, just because they really were passionate about the show. Phil's been trying to do the show for like 8 to 10 years.
Okay, so he's he this is this was his baby then.
It absolutely.
Okay. I remember you talking about him the last time. So, okay. That's helpful. Well, I think it's definitely got a unique, it's not like a lot of your reality shows. And it's very inspiring, the display of strength and the grit. And the working smarter, not harder type of concept. And so I could see why it has such an appeal. You said 4 million viewers is what it has been averaging.
I think that's I'm when I last time I checked the ratings, it sounds like it was, I know they captured it as like 4 point some million the first night, and I think that's been the average since the show's been on. I didn't see last week's ratings, but I heard that they were really good. The last team challenge was pretty amazing. I know I had a ton of people reach out to me after it was over. That's the neat thing, is that the show's definitely reached a lot of people in different ways, and it's, a lot of people have sent me messages saying that they've been struggling, and this has just given something to be hopeful for, and like just some really positive feedback from people. So I definitely appreciate that.
Are there any challenges you wish you would have done differently?
I would say the wheelbarrow challenge, the very first challenge. I wish I would have did that just a little bit different. And the rule was you could load at least 3 bags of concrete in your wheelbarrow. I did 2 every time. But then again, I thought, well, I didn't mess up doing 2, so maybe I would have messed up if I did 3. So that's the only one that I might have tried a little bit different. But other than that, I really can't think of any others that Because some of the things that you thought you were good at, and I wasn't. And then some of the stuff that I'm like, I don't know about that, then I was really good at. So I'm like, who knew?
Okay, I thought of my military question. So I found it really interesting on your bio that you said, in your last deployment, you returned with every single member. So throughout your four deployments that you had talked in the show about that. I think it was the first deployment where you lost some friends. Did you lose other friends along the way then, or was it was the first one the one time where you lost friends?
Pretty much throughout my whole career, I've lost friends. So on the show, you see me wearing a bracelet on my. I have a bracelet on both wrists. The one on my left wrist is just a standard paracord bracelet. The bracelet that I was wearing on my right wrist is one of my friends that was killed in action in Fallujah. So that bracelet's to honor his memory. I mean, but unfortunately, I could probably wear about 20 of those bracelets, but he's just a guy that I chose to wear just 'cause he's probably one of my first friends that I've like really close friends that I've ever lost.
Throughout your time from when you started till your last deployment, when you say you came home with every single member, I'm just curious, was there increased strategy to ensure their safety from the time that you started versus the time that you ended, so that you were able to come home with all of those? I'm just curious on the progression of the military from when you started to when you ended. Is that why? Does that make
I would
sense?
say the leadership in place was really good, and then a little bit of luck.
That says a whole heck of a lot about you guys, so that's pretty amazing. When did you come to Missouri?
So I came to Missouri. I think it was actually I think it was the spring, the late spring of 2010. I got stationed at Fort Leonard Wood. The Marine Corps sent me there because I had to go somewhere non-deployable for a while because I'd just done back-to-back deployments. So I went to Fort Leonard Wood and was down there for roughly a year, and that's when I made the decision to retire. I liked Missouri. I liked the quality of life, the laid-back atmosphere, I guess, just the general atmosphere. So when I focused on my job hunt when I retired, I tried to focus in Missouri, and then I ended up coming to Warrensburg, and I've been up here for the last 8 years.
Do you spend much time then over at Whiteman, since that's a little bit closer? Do you get involved over there at all?
Well, I do some stuff with Whiteman occasionally, but not that often.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad you brought up Indiana because I was meaning to ask you what brought you to Missouri. So that's helpful. I feel like I think we've got some good stuff here, and I plan to run it this afternoon.
Would you mind shouting out my Instagram account? Because I do
Yes.
post behind the scenes pics and videos and everything. Whatever the publicist sends me, I try to upload, so.
Yes, I definitely will. I wrote down KW Murph 72 is your Instagram, right?
Yes, ma'am. That's
Okay,
correct.
yeah, and I did notice that you do wear the UCM shirt a lot on the show, so you're giving your love to the university as well, so.
Yeah, definitely trying. That was my undershirt underneath the flannel. And then some days it just got too hot, so I had to take the flannel off. And then towards the end of the show, the flannel shirt just got shredded. So,
Yeah, I can only imagine,
but
yeah.
Fitters is like a local restaurant that's here in Warrensburg. They're actually hosting a watch party this coming Wednesday
Oh,
for the
awesome.
season finale, and then they reached out to me, which I thought was super nice of them. So I'm going to bring all the gear from the show and have it set up there. So like that piece of wood I saw off when I beat Lee the first time, that'll be there. My helmet, my Carhartt jacket, the flannel shirt, the alternator, my bag. So because I've had kids come over the house and want to take pictures with all that stuff, so I'm going to bring it to the watch party so they can, photo opportunity stuff for the kids.
So the name of the restaurant is Fitters.
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 Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. I'll mention that. I think that's cool that they're doing that. Great. Are you going to post like pictures from the watch party on your Instagram?
I will. Yeah,
Okay.
I sure will.
Okay, great. I'll try and share those.
Well, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. You've been really great, and I hope that we can get you some attention here. And I'll be sure to mention that Lee is also a Missourian that's on the show. Because
Awesome.
I
Yeah,
think
that'd be
that's
great.
great. I think that's great that we have two Missourians that competed on the first season of the show. That's pretty
Yes,
awesome.
ma'am. Yeah, pretty good to catch that demographic, so representing in Missouri.